Welcome to the road to growth, success of an entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with team lead of the Enriquez Group, Realtor Vinny.
Hi, Road to Growth listeners. Today I have Nick on the podcast, cancer survivor, speaker. And I know for myself, I don't know anyone else listening. I've gotten to this little really kick. I haven't done any like Sparta race that has some buddies talking about. I've been listening to a lot of what Cameron Haynes and David Goggins and those kind of guys. So I'm glad to hear have you on the podcast today, Nick.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I know speaking kind of is, I guess the forte of how you kind of make money, or because you can't really make money in Spartan race, right?
You can, but I can't. Okay. People do, but I'm not going to be one of them.
How do you make money in a Spartan race? Because you, I think you pay, or is it basically sponsorships, or what is it?
So, and there are what we call pro athletes or elite athletes in the Spartan races, but it's nobody's making a full time living doing it.
Gotcha.
You know, the payouts aren't that good considering, and there are events almost every weekend. Well, there are events every weekend across the globe, but I mean, that's a pretty hard life for a pretty, you know, moderate payout. So some of the elite athletes, they have other ways that they supplement their income. Their coaches, they do have brand, you know, brand partnerships and stuff like that. But we're talking about the 1% of the 1% of people who do these things.
For yourself, is most of the money to survive, is it through like the speaking engagements, or what is it?
So, for the last 20 plus years, I've been a W-2 employee working in sales for a telecom organization. And then I spent most of my time in transportation and logistics. And in 2019, I left the company I had worked for about 14 years. And I became a sales consultant for a short period of time. I immediately, about 6 or 7 months into 2020, I got a consulting gig that ended mid 2020, and they brought me on full time, and I ended up back in logistics for the last several years. I published my memoir Through the Fire back in May of 2021, and the last 2 years working in logistics has been very challenging for me because I knew at this point I was supposed to do something else. I know that I have a story to tell, and that I can help people by telling it. So come October, my employer decided that the time for me to go off on my own was now. And so I got the call on a Wednesday afternoon that they no longer needed my services. And on Thursday morning, I announced to the world that I'm pursuing my speaking career. So this was just a few months ago. So I'm very new to the space as far as the speaking is concerned. But that's I am all in on speaking and coaching and helping people along the way.
This is a safe zone, and I'm really curious. I mean, when you leave, because you've been with the company for so long, even though you had that little bit of gap, and I don't know if you're going to talk about it, they give you some sort of like kind of protection, right? Kind of severance, I guess, right, of a couple months, or is that usually how it
works? That was one industry, but those weren't the same companies. I was with for 14 years, and when I left there in 2019, they took care of me on the way out the door.
Okay.
I was one of the people who helped build that company, and they definitely took care of me on the way out the door. The place I was most recently at did not.
Oh, gotcha. So how does, if you're watching us live, you see that he's done a massive amount of Spartan races, right? He's cancer survivor, right? So he's gone through some shit, right? And when you have that steady paycheck coming every week, every month, right? And now you don't, that has to kind of have a similar weight to it, I would think.
So the day I got fired from my job, I got the call and I texted my wife who was at work, and she immediately called me.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Oh my God, are you okay?" And I go, "Listen, I worry about money every day, right?" She goes, "Yes." I said, "And I worry and stress about my job every day, right?" She goes, "Yes." And I go, "Well, now I only got one thing to worry about." But it wasn't a joke. It is scary not knowing where your next check is coming from. I mean, but that's what entrepreneurship is, right? Like, that's why most people don't do it. That's why most people can't do it. And I'll be candid. That's why in 2019, even though I had a pretty good first year off of my own, I didn't leave the company to go be a consultant. I left the company because it just, my path wasn't going to go the same place anymore. Mm-hmm. And literally on the way out the door, because I have a very good relationship with them still to this day, they were like, hey, you want to do some recruiting for us since you got the time? So I started doing recruiting for them. And then I picked up a couple other clients and I started doing some training, and then I was consulting, and I was like, well, I might as well make this official. But a year and a half later, even though I had just landed, like, you know, my first big consulting contract, when I got a job offer to go back to a W-2, I took it. Hmm. Whereas right now, I'm willing to lose it all to succeed. And I am confident that the end game will result in that. I just don't know what sort of obstacles or hardships or pain or loss that I'll have to endure to get there. But there's a big difference between now and then. And this is the ultimate thing that I've learned from the 97 Spartans and the 6 marathons and just, well, the thousands of hours of grueling suffering. You can stand on your head in a pit of fire if you're doing it for a reason. Mm. Why that you're doing it for, it's not just a cliche. It's a powerful fuel. And that's what's driving me now, is that I know that I can help people. I just need to find, you know, for me, it's just a matter of timing now.
And that's something I from, even myself as being a business owner, entrepreneur, that kind of stuff. I mean, in the low moments, right, it's like, okay, I got to focus on this. But as maybe a man or maybe an entrepreneur, right, we can live with bare minimum, right? But when you have a significant other with you, right, that's where I think some of the difficulty becomes, because now you're like, okay, well, are they on my side too? Are they going to be there with me to the thick and thin? Or do I have to, like, worry more about that than worry about myself? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, that was the first barrier, was, you know, making a decision for her, you know? Yeah. But at the same time, I got to look at the market, because, you know, I talked about this earlier in 2019, when I was doing this recruiting, I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people who are a lot less qualified than I was, making a lot more money than I was. And I'm like, why am I not? And that's part of the reason when I went back to work for other people, is because I reassessed my value and I knew it. Yeah. And so, like, in 2021, I wasn't like a jerk about it, but I wasn't starting a conversation that didn't start with a high dollar figure, because I just knew where I knew my worth. And that said, right now it's a different market. I don't think I have the same value as a W-2 that I would have 2 years ago. And, you know, we sort of had built up a lifestyle, and like a lot of people, you build up debt and other things. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills Ubering anyway. So I need to go big or go home. And, you know, she also, not like we want to endure the loss or the potential catastrophes, but that's, you know, she's essentially on board. The second part of it though, and I think this is what holds most people back, is ego.
Yeah.
If I have to sell my house and go live in, you know, a rental for a while or something, my ego is going to take a hit, and I'm going to feel like that people are judging me, you know, for making bad decisions. And especially if you're at a place, if you work for someone else for a long time and you're part of something and then you leave, you have it in your head that people are watching you, but nobody's watching you. Nobody cares. People are too self-involved. They're all trying to succeed in their own world. And if they are judging you, well, fuck them. Those aren't the people that you want on your team anyway. So once you kind of get past that, and then, you know, I didn't come from much, so I was able to succeed in life because I wasn't afraid of losing. And now all of a sudden, because I've acquired some things, I've got a comfortable lifestyle, I want to build this big bubble around it. But you can't win by playing defense.
It's so funny. I tell my team every once in a while that we're not as important as we think we are, right? You can have conversations with people and you're like, oh, I'm the person in their life. And you're like, more than likely to remember, you have a handful of people that are like, that person, I want to know what they're doing. I want to be there for them. But, and the people that basically are judging you, those are the people you don't want in your corner. So I totally agree with you.
I think this is going to sound dumb, but something that was helpful to me is, for just over a year now, I've been putting out daily motivational content on all my social channels for the most part. And a lot, YouTube and TikTok is just 100% organic. I don't know any of these people, as opposed to some that might be in my network on another channel. But so I'll get these trolls on there that'll just post like, I mean, just insulting, trying to insult me, you know? And the thing is I love it. I had one video have over 1 million views, and I thank them for it because all they're giving me is clicks.
Yeah.
And the people that care about what I have to say don't care about what those people have to say. So it's like, why should I let that bother me at all? And so when you realize that the haters truly provide, some people use it as fuel. You talk about Goggins, right?
Yeah.
He literally takes all the trolls and all the negative comments. He puts it into a tape or something and listens to it.
Yeah.
I was rageful for a long time in my life. It's just too exhausting. You know, I need to take positive energy stores and focus those positive energies. And so I just don't even entertain the negative aspect. I laugh at it. And plus, every once in a while, if you take yourself out of it and realize that it's not personal, it's some stuff is kind of funny.
Well, and it's tough too. I mean, if you change who you are, you change what you're saying based off of what trolls or whatever are saying to you. I mean, you're always going to be making a left. You're always making a right. You're always going to do a detour right there. Right. So over time, you have to understand, like you said, this is who I am. The people that want to be in my corner will be in my corner. The people that don't want to be in my corner won't be in my corner. And life's too short. Right.
And especially for someone like me, like all I have is my authenticity. All I have is my vulnerability and my openness and, you know, talking about the things that, quite frankly, other guys don't talk about a lot, like how vulnerable I am just willing to be. And because I realize it helps people. And then as it helps people, number one, the things I'm vulnerable about and open about, they lose their power over me. And then so I just become stronger and stronger and stronger by doing it.
So the way I look at most businesses, especially new businesses, right, you have a game plan, you have a North Star, you have something that's kind of directing you in that direction, right? And I know you're relatively newer, I guess, in this space, kind of building your brand. But when you look at that kind of game plan, that North Star, what do you envision that to be? If people think of Nick, right, what do they think of?
They think of Nick as the guy who helped me achieve my goals. Nick is the guy who inspired me to live a better life. Nick is the guy who showed me I'm not limited.
And what kind of platforms are you going to be doing? I know you started talking about the coaching. I know you talked about the book, speaking engagements. I mean, have you kind of started building a game plan to make it a profitable business, a business that can grow?
Absolutely. This year, we're going to focus on getting on stage. And I'm just using that as a metaphor. We're focusing on speaking engagements. And a lot of them are being focused on virtual engagements. Okay. I understand in this market and economy, it's just going to be a lot more cost effective for companies to not have to pay for travel and stuff like that. And I can reach a lot more teams, you know, virtually. So, but speaking engagements, I have a story to tell. I have the ability to help people by telling it. And so I'm going to do that as much as humanly possible. I have actual metrics and goals that I'm working on. Part of that, another goal for the year is this: having just insightful and thoughtful conversations as often as I can to continue to try to get that, you know, word out into the world. My new book will get published in the next couple of months. It'll be on Amazon and Kindle, but you know, I don't expect it to be a massive moneymaker, not by itself. It's a book, so I'll be happy if it doesn't lose me money. And I am putting out daily content, and I'm going to continue to do so. And as I learn my craft, I'm going to, I guess, improve my content, if you will, because the messages are always getting developed. The things that I talk about involve a tremendous amount of self-reflection. You know, I'm just constantly looking and stripping away the layers of things that hold me back and realizing how can I improve? And then if it affects me, if it helps me, I've come to realize that I'm not that unique and I'm not alone. So if it helps me, it's going to resonate with someone else too. And so those are always going to be available on all my social media programs. You know, over time, there'll be other platforms to develop, but those are the ways I'm trying to reach people now.
Do you like, what's your, and I know we've talked about kind of like the spark notes of it, right? Cancer survivor, I mean, W-2, and then kind of left and then got fired and basically in this whole time doing all these Spartan races. But when you think of kind of like that plot point, right, of your life, of your story, what's that look like?
Like, where was the turning point?
Well, I mean, like when I think of like Tony Robbins, I think of like small changes, right? His story about small changes, kind of little changes right there. When I think of Ed Milet, he talks about like one more time, right? Kind of like it's like those are his kind of like those are their push points, I guess, when they're speaking. Do you have something that you've kind of formulated so far, or is that kind of still it's kind of working through, I guess?
You know, I basically rely on two separate mantras here. One is keep moving forward, and that's just no matter what. And I can elaborate on that too, but it applies to whether or not we're running in an ultra. You know, I tell the story about one time I was running a distance run and my blood sugar, I'm a type 1 diabetic and my blood sugars dropped out and I was blacking out and I just kept literally yelling out loud, "If you stop here, you die here. If you stop here, you die here. Keep moving forward," because I was just trying not to pass out on the side of the road. But the second one is how I close all my videos, which is live inspired. Live inspired. And what I mean by that is inspiration is everywhere. It is so easy to gravitate towards the negative thoughts and negative actions and negative doubts. But if you look around you, there is inspire yourself. Just do things that you didn't think you could do and start small because they do build up. Inspiration is everywhere. And when you look for it like that and you put it back out into the world, it's a self-renewing energy. Action conquers all doubt. And so between those things, those are my, what, I guess.
With live inspired, does it, I mean, I don't know. There's a problem, I think, at least I have, and I'm talking to some other business owners, they probably have, where we go, if we accomplish this, I'll maybe inspire myself from 6 months ago. But you're in the moment, you really don't appreciate basically the thing, and you're not, I guess, taking inspiration out of it. So how do you, I guess, do that, where you're inspiring yourself in those wins, I guess?
So this is where I'm really awesome or fortunate, because I'm a recovering alcoholic. I've got almost 10 years of sobriety. And in that 10 years, I've been practicing one day at a time living, which is a mental aspect. And what's success is a one day at a time thing too. So it's always about what can we accomplish like in this moment? How can I be successful in this moment? So I'm big on goal setting, and I reverse engineered my goals to my revenue goal for January was a massive $500. Well, I succeeded. I was inspired. Today, the goal, though, you know, I don't have a revenue goal for the day. So the little things that can be inspired could just be the phone call that I got from a former employee this morning telling me that she has a lead for me. Whether or not it pans out, the sheer fact that she was out there thinking of me and taking the time to call me is the inspiration to know that I'm reaching people. And that is the fuel for me. I firmly believe, you know, I don't like, you look at the guys like Ed Milet and like, you know, Eric Thomas and whatever. And it's, I don't see myself as a commercialized being or whatever. If somebody wants to start making music videos over my content, that'll be awesome. But that's but it's the people that I can reach along the way. And I know there's, you know, I know there's money in it, but I've always said I'm not money driven. I'm lifestyle driven. It just so happens that my lifestyle kind of costs money. But if my purpose is to overcome every obstacle and inspire others that they can too, then all I need to fulfill that purpose is for inspiration to reach other people. And as long as I pursue that purpose, I firmly believe the universe is going to give me what I need to continue to do so.
You talk about goals, right? That every day you try to put a goal, for the most part, right? I have a goal for that day. Is that something that's built out in the morning, the day, the night before, the week before, the month before? What does that kind of break down to?
I actually start in December and I look at the year ahead. And so I set 5 goals, no more than 5 goals for the year. Total in life. And then I will break those goals down. So for my business goals, it was obviously it was a revenue goal. And then I had to break it down as to how I would achieve it quarter by quarter. Told you the quiet one was in this room. Quarter by quarter, month by month. And then, so I've got my monthly goal. So I'm looking over my whiteboard here and I can see February, the revenue that I need to earn, the speaking gigs I want to book, the coaching clients that I want to bring on, the number of podcasts I want to be on, and then finishing the first draft of my book. Those are the goals for February. So then every Monday or Sunday night, I'll review for the week what are my primary objectives and how am I going to achieve them? And then every single day, first thing in the morning, I review my goals, literally review my goals, all five of them, both in personal and then professional. A lot of them, like my number one goal of the year is stay sober every day. I know the work I need to do, but every single day I look at the calendar and say that this was one more day that I need to stay sober. And part of the reason in doing so is because I need to always remember that that has to stay my number one goal. And I can't let any of the other goals interfere with it. Because without number one, it really doesn't matter what number two is. And then thing is, I'm big on planning and I'm big on being disciplined within that plan, but you got to be pliable. You know, the reason I need a pretty specific plan is because idle time will have me unproductive. And I would rather just be working towards something. And then later I can reassess if I'm going in the right direction or if I need to make adjustments.
If you don't hit the goal or even the low moments, what are things that kind of bring you back to, I guess, basics or bring you back to norm, or bring you back on track?
Yeah. Sometimes you got to meditate on it a minute. I mean, I definitely get scared. It's several times a day, you know, there's these fear moments and it really doesn't take a lot for something to sort of derail you either necessarily, you know? And like, I mean, this could have canceled this morning and all of a sudden I could be like, oh my God, nothing's working. And so you just got to revert back to the plan because I'll tell you what doesn't work, sitting around worrying about it. And, you know, I have a certain freedom of having my back up against the wall. I'm only going one direction. I'm not trying to go backwards. And I think a lot of the times you got to remind yourself that of what you're, why you're fighting for what you're fighting for. And it's okay if the work you're doing doesn't work. You know, it's you, it's my old track coach. He used to sign every one of his emails, always do your best. And so that's how I always signed my emails to my team. And I was actually, I write about it in my book. We're responsible for the efforts, not the outcomes. That's the only part that we actually have control over. And so I can't dwell on the outcomes, even though the outcomes might be, you know, financial life and death, but I've been broke before. I'll get through it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. I think you like with like clients or like referrals, right? You train the people for the action, not the results, right? That person called you up saying, hey, I have a referral for you. You have to appreciate that. Now if the referral never comes, it sucks, but you train that person to call you when the time comes about for those leads.
And the thing is too, is that if you focus on efforts over outcomes, you're going to be better. Yeah. When I'm focused on the outcome, if I'm dwelling over how this is going to reflect to others right now, instead of just being in the conversation with you, then I'm going to be fake. You know, if I'm going into a sales call thinking so much about how I need this sale and what the money's going to do, I'm not going to be present and I'm not going to deliver my best. There's a degree of faith in this, right? You have to trust that what you're doing has a purpose for it. You have to trust that you've been trained. You have to have faith that it's going to work more than it's not going to work and just roll with it anyway. Because otherwise, you know, you're constantly making these adjustments and it's chaotic. And then that chaos and that constant doubt, that imposter syndrome that it leads to is exhausting. You know, that client I told you about when I was consulting, how I picked up that one big consulting contract. Yeah. It was a Friday, probably around this time of year. And I had a contract fall through. Somebody I expected to get hired didn't get hired. A franchise I expected to sell didn't sell. Like all of a sudden I had like $100,000 on the table that all disappeared within like a matter of minutes. It was a Friday afternoon. 9 out of 10 people are going to go knock off for the weekend and say, all right, well, we'll get after it on Monday. I just sat down and started messaging everybody I could. I didn't even know what I was going to say. I just had to take action. And literally I'm like, hey, my name is Nick. I do sales training, consulting, recruiting. Want to introduce myself? Let me know if you ever need anything. That was where that big consulting contract came, was from that Friday afternoon, just sending out those messages. Could it have been a tremendous waste of time? Maybe. But then at least I just learned something that didn't work.
No, it's those times where you're like, just okay, one more time, one more text, one more email, one more call. I mean, and ideally finish it on a positive note, right? It's nicer when you get that deal or get that lead that says something positive. But if you get it where they're like, no, I don't, I'm good. And then you're like, all right, I got to finish it off. So yeah,
Well, you probably get this. And I talk about this in sales with ending in a positive note. The reason I like metrics and plans and stuff like that is because I want it. You can work. There's no such thing as working too much in sales. Like technically, as far as like how much productivity you could, you know, you could work and work and work, but you have to know there's an end point because otherwise you'll burn out. Right. So how do you know when's enough? When you have those metrics together, you can look at your week. Right now I can say, all right, did I book any speaking gigs this week? No. Okay. Well, did I set appointments for speaking gigs? Yes. Did I set the required number of things? Do I have enough other people that I'm talking to? Did I do this? Okay. All the building blocks are there. Yeah. Just because the result didn't pan out in the 48-hour period that I wanted it to doesn't mean that it's not. Now, if I were to go down that list and say, you know, well, do I have a number of, I guess in real estate, maybe it's like, do I have the number of showings I'm supposed to have? Do I have the number of this? And if the answer is no, all the way down to the bottom and it's Friday at 5 o'clock, that's when you ask yourself, did I do enough of the activity?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, pick up the damn phone and do it. Yeah. If the answer is yes, go enjoy the weekend. Math will work out.
Yeah. I mean, over time, I mean, you do something long enough, basically it's a numbers game, right?
You just got to understand your numbers, you know, when you know what, and that's what's, it's tough for me right now because I don't, you know, I was logistics for 20 years. I knew my numbers to the letter. I knew exactly what I needed to do to succeed. I have no idea right now. And it is daunting, but that's why I keep track of everything that I do, because there is going to be a formula for success. And of course that's going to be fluid, but once I have an idea of what it is, the anxiety will start to go down. And then I can, again, just focus on being present, being more of a better me, because not knowing where the money's coming from 6 months from now is going to be scary for anybody.
If we were talking, I mean, even farther from that, 5 months, 5 years from now, I mean, where do you see yourself and your business going?
I have outsourced the people doing my prospecting for getting me on stage. I am focusing on more content creation and speaking. I have several corporate coaching clients, but we're coaching their teams on resilience and goal setting and pushing past self-limiting doubts. My messaging, I imagine, will always sort of be the same. 5 years from now, I'm probably on my fifth book. Yeah, the thing is about when you're always reflecting and you're always talking, you're always coming up with new content. Yeah. Like my, you know, I'm about to put Selling Inspired, that's a new book that I'm writing, out into the market. And the one coming behind it is probably half written in my head already. It's just these things that continue to come. I would refer to myself as a branded expert at that point instead of, you know, hey, here's this motivational speaker you should talk to once in a while.
For the speaking thing, because I don't think I've ever had anyone at least ask the question, right? What's the ballpark pricing, or how does that work for someone to get you speaking engagements? Is it based off of, they get a percentage of what you're going to get, or is it a flat fee, or how does that usually work?
So in the scenario I was talking about, I basically would be outsourcing like a 1099 to do my sales. I would want to control it like organically. So that said, there are speaker bureaus and agents and different programs out there. Some of them, you know, to be part of it, it's very strict guidelines and things that you have to adhere to that you may or may not want to be part of. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some give and take. Some of them might just take a larger chunk. It really kind of runs the gamut. Like anything, when there's a marketplace for something, there's going to be people to come into that market. And so for every speaker, there's 10 coaches on how to be a speaker. And then for every one of those, there's people selling you on, you know, how to get deals and so forth. And I mean, this is great though, because there's a lot of information out there. It's just like networking. You know,
It's finding the right person to work with, right? Because there's so many coaches, there's so many basically people finding speakers, there's so many of every, I mean, in the real estate field, I get hit up probably twice a day on different products that they can try to sell me. And it's trying to weed through all these things to find out what's actually real and what's actually going to be real for you.
Right. And it's, you know, that's why it's just to get calls, do calls, just interact with people, especially, you know, the four walls of my office are oftentimes the only four walls I'm seeing in a given day. It's important to talk to other people who are trying to do the things you're doing. Even if they're trying to sell you something, it's information, learn about it, network back. You never know. Like, it's just, you know, the world around us is changing so much and there are best practices and there's all these tools and technologies out there. And it's hard to differentiate when, you know, it's just a bunch of pitch slaps on LinkedIn.
Have you figured some sort of technique to weed through the different people reaching out to you, I guess?
For me, it's, I'm 98% of my work is outbound right now. And most of the things that come inbound to me are pretty obvious. Like, it's things that don't apply, you know, like, hey, we've got your UI design for something. I'm like, what? Or, hey, we can recruit the best, but like, no. I have no budget for SEO or anything, nor am I, even if I did, why would it matter? I'm not trying to promote myself that way right now. So, you know, it's really easy for me to sort of ignore anything like that. And I already am part of a program where I have a coach and, you know, a community. So as far as like those are concerned, it's just, I'm not much of a target for anyone right now. And being a salesperson, if it's a real message from somebody, I actually like to give them a real answer.
You know, and that's, I mean, with AI now, sometimes it's harder and harder to differentiate that. I know we originally connected right through LinkedIn, and I get emails like all the time through the platform. And sometimes you have to kind of almost like weed people through. Okay, is this a real person? Did they actually do it? Did they outsource basically the initial thing? What's going on here? And then it's, yeah, because you, in the end of the day, you don't want to waste your time, right?
I try to. Like, obviously, I'm messaging a lot of people, so the crux of my message is sitting there on my Microsoft Word document.
Yeah, copy
and paste it real quick. But like, if my initial introduction is almost always going to be the same. If we've recently connected, like, I don't need to spend 5 hours to say hi, my name is, because I'm not pitching anything.
Yeah,
you know, and that's how the message I sent to you, and then you respond, and I was like, oh, cool, let's engage. And then I checked you out some more. Then like, you know, actually, I was like, oh, okay, hey, so your podcast, let me talk about this, you know, and those. I think those are fine. It is that, and being a salesperson, I do get why there is a certain value in just simply saying, hey, this is what we sell. Do you want it? Because to them, it's an automated numbers game too. And the person who wants it's going to say yes. The person who doesn't want it is going to be annoyed, but they're not going to buy anyway. So, but that works for some products. But I mean, can you imagine? Hi, I'm an inspiring keynote speaker. Here is my automated message. I provide unique value to everyone. Like, come on. That might work for some. And like, if they're an expert in a certain space, you know?
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's definitely not something that I've worked through yet, but I get a lot of those messages, and I've talked to people that sell stuff on LinkedIn and, or had them on the podcast before. And
I listened to that episode. One of your guests with the AI, and he was actually talking about the AI recorded messaging and stuff. And I was like,
yeah,
I like that. Yep. That's exactly. There's it. But I mean, there's a reason this stuff exists.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, and that, I mean, I wonder too, I mean, as you, because right now you're doing the grassroots, right? I mean, and I wonder with more technology and more avenues as we go into the future, if it's going to be harder to do grassroots or it's going to be easier because you have more spaces to get to people.
You know, it's a combination of both, right? Like, cause we talked about discipline and goal setting.
Yeah,
man, there is 17 technologies for everything. And every person you talk to has 5 pieces of advice. And the thing is, they're all great.
Yeah.
But you have to pick your, you know, you asked me like, how am I going to achieve my goals this year? Right. And I had to narrow that down.
Yeah.
I can see myself running a podcast, my own podcast one day, but not in the cars now. Like, and if I think about it now, it's going to take away from something else. Like,
yeah.
So I do think it's, you know, CapCut is a great tool, right? Like for video editing. By the time I want to get proficient at video editing, there's going to be 15 more to weed through it. And it does get challenging to keep up with everything. So I think it's important to stay purposeful a little at a time. And I also don't need to be all things to all people. And the more I try to be, I'm just not going to be good at anything. So, you know, being a one-man show, I actually carve myself out time. Like today at 3 o'clock, my calendar, I don't allow anything after 3 o'clock because I make sure I get to go be creative. I have to make sure I have my writing time in there too. Like, and I, you know, sometimes I'm just playing with videos, but I have to make, and also when you're running your own, your own business and you are the business, when you are the product, like, it's not a work-life balance. It's life. It's just life. So do I work on the weekends? Of course I do. But my work also involves when I'm training, I'm working. When I'm writing, I'm working. When I'm thinking about stuff to say, I'm working. You know, it's not just the grunt work of LinkedIn. But at the same time, I can do a lot of work on LinkedIn in 2 hours on Sunday when people aren't responding to messages.
When I first got into real estate, I mean, it's been a while, but it was actually two separate things. Right. For me, it was like, okay, I'm working and that's my persona. That's my person when I'm working. And this is who I am when I'm not working. And then there's a time that happened. I was like, what the hell am I doing? I got to intertwine these together. I got to basically, I love basically Padres baseball. I love sci-fi. I love that kind of stuff. I mean, I love working out. And so now it's like, I try to focus on clients for myself personally that have that kind of similar kind of mindset to them. Or I can talk to them about that when we're not doing the real estate stuff. So it's, yeah, it's something you learn over time, right?
You know, something that's funny is I saw a post earlier today on LinkedIn, and you see a bunch of these where people are telling you what LinkedIn is supposed to be and not supposed to be. And people just love to comment on each other. And, you know, they're like, you shouldn't be talking about your personal interest on LinkedIn. This isn't Facebook. And I'm like, you know what, though? I disagree. And here's why. If you and I met at a networking event, I don't want to hear about real estate.
Yeah.
I want to talk about baseball.
Yeah.
I'm a Red Sox fan. I love baseball. Let's talk baseball.
Theo Epstein.
What's that?
You guys just signed Theo Epstein today.
Did we? Yeah. Well, there you go. We need to make some moves since we're the highest paid worst team ever. But then we would have that conversation and I'm going to remember you and I'm going to feel connected to you. And when then I'm prepared to do business with you.
Yeah.
I don't want you to just post infomercials all the time of, you know, so even before I was doing this, now I would post pictures of some of my racing and put some motivational stuff on there. And so of course I'm not wearing a shirt in a lot of pictures or whatever. And so sometimes people are like, oh, this isn't for this, you're in for that. And I'm like, bro, it's okay if the message isn't for you.
Yeah.
Because I was also 240 pounds once. And I'll show that picture too. Because you know, there's a lot of diabetics out there, and I want them to know, like, you can do this too. It's all right. But at the same time, if you're trying to sell me your product and you don't want to like mention obstacle course, like that's how you're going to get my attention. Yeah. Talk to me about the thing I want to talk to you about.
No, for sure. Well, Nick, you know what? Thank you so much for being on the platform. Again, I mean, for people listening, I mean, it's a little bit different because Nick's on the earlier stages of kind of building this brand right there. But the core of who he is and who the brand is has been around for a while, right? So I know this is a kind of a unique podcast episode. We usually don't have ones like this, but I think there's value for everyone out there, right? Be true to who you are. And I think Nick's at the early stages of probably being true to who he is by building this brand right now. But he's always been basically what? You said 90 races?
97 races. Spartans, 6 major marathons, and about 30 other races.
Right. So that's who he is. And now he's telling the world, trying to help other people out, get that direction. If people are listening, Nick, and they want to get you for speaking engagements, or they want to get you to get your books, what's the best way of getting more information?
I am everywhere on social at Stride Motivation. And my website is www.stridemotivation.com. Also, the book, my current book, Through the Fire, is on Amazon and will be free for download for the Kindle version, I think, the week of the 19th of February.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe, please share, and go find Nick. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.theenriquezgroup.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. The Enriquez Group, signing off.